On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler discussing choosing between the 2010 estate tax and modified carryover basis after the discovery of the impact of the alternative minimum tax. The impact of the AMT on the 1022 election was missed by virtually anyone. Amazingly, the entire issue of the alternative minimum tax and its relationship to carryover basis was missed by the congressional writing committees, tax professionals, and even the IRS. Earlier this week, in teaching one of our classes on the 1022 election, a CPA from Florida raised the question of how the AMT interacted with the traditional income tax basis. After speaking to a variety of experts, it appears that there is a strong possibility that taxpayers electing carryover basis will have a different basis for AMT and regular tax purposes. So I've spoken to people inside the service, and I've spoken to kind of a who's who of experts, and everyone is kind of in the same place. And for most individuals, absent real estate, business interests, or incentive stock options, this should not be a major league issue and will not necessitate much, if any, incremental work. But for some clients, this is going to literally double the amount of work the CPA or tax lawyer has to do on Form 8939. It's also may impact the election itself, whether or not to elect into or out of the estate tax. So for some people, this is going to be a nightmare, requiring you to prepare a shadow 8939 AMT schedule. Not the IRS may actually come out and tell us we have to file two schedules now that this is out on the table and everybody recognizes the AMT is an issue. The heart of the issue is that Section 1022 does not differentiate between regular tax basis and the AMT basis. So one logical conclusion is the statute is clear that a beneficiary takes a carryover basis. If there's a separate basis for regular tax and for AMT, it seems only logical that you would take a carryover basis for regular tax and a carryover basis for AMT. So, if the basis of a particular asset is different, the heirs are going to be stuck with a different basis. And that's going to create quite a bit of complexity. In many instances, this will be smoothed out through the allocation of basis under 1022B or 1022C. However, in other instances, there's going to be an irreconcilable accounting problem. I'm sure, although many will write more on this tax anomaly, I'd like to provide us with some examples. Perhaps the most interesting thing that we have to confront is, will the service allow us to make a different basis allocation for regular tax and for AMT? Because there are going to be some instances. Now, in most situations, like with ISOs or like with depreciable property, the basis for AMT will generally be greater than the basis for regular tax. Now, other people may tell me I'm wrong on that, but that's what my experience would tell us. So let's look at some examples. John died holding $7 million worth of ABC.com, acquired by exercising incentive stock options. The regular tax basis for the incentive stock options is $2 million, and the AMT basis is $4.5 million. John acquired the stock 2 years before his death, after exercising incentive stock options. In this instance, Section 1022 provides that his heirs will take a carryover basis. If we start there, his heirs will take a basis for regular tax purposes of $2 million and $4.5 million for AMT. Because John is single, his executor could then allocate the $1.3 million basis increase. Now, regardless of how you allocate that basis, there'll still be a gap for both regular tax and AMT between the basis and the fair market value, so that doesn't seem patently unfair. Now, however, after allocating the $1.3 million basis increase, John's basis for regular tax or for AMT and regular tax would be $3.3 million and $5.8 million, respectively. Now, that could get more complex if you have to add in operating losses, NOLs, capital loss carryforwards. Now, let's look at the same facts, so let's change the facts and make this more dynamic. Same facts, except that the basis for regular tax is $5 million and the basis for AMT is $6 million. In this instance, when the executor allocates $1.3 million to the regular tax basis, the basis will increase to $6.3 million, $5 million plus $1.3. However, for AMT purposes, we will run into the fair market value limitation. Because John's basis for AMT prior to the allocation is $6 million, if we allocate the entire $1.3 million into the to this property, his AMT basis would be $7.3 million, $6 million plus $1.3 million, which is greater than the fair market value of the property. If this allocation were to occur, although John takes a basis of $6.3 for regular tax, his AMT basis would be limited to $7 million, and he effectively will have lost a $300,000 AMT basis increase. The issue is, can I use that $300,000 someplace else and increase the basis of another asset for AMT purposes? In fact, if I had any input on this, which clearly I do not, I might suggest that we file two 8939s, one for regular tax and one for AMT, with a box you could check if there was no need to file an 8939 for AMT, where you just say all the basis is the same across the board. Now, the same type of phenomena can occur with depreciable property where the AMT basis and the regular tax basis are different. In these cases, the beneficiaries would likely take different depreciation periods for regular tax and AMT purposes. This creates an interesting scenario where the decedent would have a separate depreciation method for both regular and AMT for both the pre-death basis and the post-death allocation. You'd in essence have four different depreciable basis schedules for any 1022B or C asset. Unfortunately, the complexity does not end here. In many tax returns we have seen over the years for business clients, their AMT loss carryforwards are always different than their regular tax carryforwards. I'm not talking about a carryforward on an S-corp or on a 1120 or from an S-corporation. I'm just talking about normal carryovers of, say, a farmer who's depreciating property or someone with a construction business. Let's look at a third example just to set up this issue. Tom dies holding raw land valued at $7 million with a basis of $2 million. Tom's executor makes a Section 1022 election electing out of the estate tax. Tom's executor is going to be eligible to allocate the $1.3 million in basis plus the amount of any net operating loss carryover, capital loss carryover, or built-in losses. Assume that Tom has a net operating loss carryforward for regular tax of $3 million and a net operating loss carryforward for AMT purposes of $2.1 million. In this instance, Tom would have a different basis for AMT and for regular tax purposes, and the different amounts of losses would be added in to the basis adjustments. Unfortunately, the service is going to need to provide us with some guidance on these issues. However, in the meantime, I still believe we need to be prepared to file a supplemental form 8939 AMT. On behalf of Leidenberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler, and thank you for joining us today for discussion of the 1022 election and the AMT curveball.